That so helpfully as well. I have decided I need to use this because otherwise I have to kind of look down at my notes and find that a bit difficult. And also, it's every preacher's nightmare to look up and find you've all gone off for coffee. So it's just a way to keep an eye on you. So the big idea from our reading this morning is actually verse 30 of our reading. Oop. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And the first thing that we need to know about our verses this morning are that they are an acrostic. You'll know what an acrostic is, don't you? Here's an acrostic of friends. And the reason pretty much people like to make up acrostics is that we like to have a way of celebrating somebody or something that we love, and we do it in this kind of memorable, poetic way. And the reason that I'm bringing that up is that verses 10 to 31 are an acrostic, and the writer has used every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet to celebrate and point to this woman who fears the Lord in verse 30. So, starting top right, because they write right to left, Aleph is for a woman full of virtue. Bet refers to trust her husband shares. Gimel is for work she does to help you. Dalet stands for how she shops for wares. And so on through all of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's helpful for us to know, because what it does is tip us off that we're not actually looking at an argument being built, like, for example, Paul does in Romans. What we're looking at are pearls being strung together. And he set himself this task, as he says in verse 30, to praise a woman who fears the Lord. So he thinks up 22 things to say about her. So I think a sermon that's based on this passage of Scripture should do three things. First, it should aim to inspire women to fear the Lord like this woman does. Second, it should inspire others, and particularly husbands and children, to praise women who fear the Lord. And third, it should actually contain praise for the godly woman. So I want to try to answer three questions about the text here. First, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Second, why is it so important that we praise a woman who fears the Lord? And third, how can you tell if a woman fears the Lord? What does it look like in action? So first, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And what I want to do just quickly is just make a swift left turn and park up for a moment and travel back in time right to the beginning of Israel's national life together, right to the point where Moses has been given the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, 18 to 20, it says this. I don't know if you can see that, I'll read it. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." And here's the bit here. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Well, that's weird. Do not be afraid. Be fearful. Which one is it? Question. Moses, what is it that we should not be afraid of? Answer, don't be afraid of coming close to God and listening to his voice. question. Okay, Moses, so what kind of fear is it that you say that we need? Answer, you need to remember that God is absolutely holy. He is absolutely righteous. He hates sin in every form, and he will undoubtedly deal with it. There is nothing in his universe that goes unnoticed. And what we're learning is that the fear of sparking God's powerful wrath against sin shouldn't drive us away from God, but to God for grace and for mercy and for safety. Fearing God means having a reverence for him that impacts the way that we live every day. It's respecting him, it's obeying him, it's submitting to his discipline, it's worshiping him in awe. Yes, as Christians, we know that we have got amazing access right into God's presence, but that doesn't mean that we can treat him flippantly or lightly. When we were kids, about 7 or 8 years old, my mum and dad used to drive my brother Andy and myself out into the country near Reading, where we lived, to a restaurant called the Mill House. And we used to go there for Sunday lunch sometimes, and we used to have to wear our school uniforms, which I think nowadays would probably fit into some category of abuse, wouldn't it? But we did anyway. And the people that own the Mill House had got this big Dalmatian dog, funnily enough, called Solomon. I kid you not. And what happened is that you'd drive up into to the front of the Mill House and park up, and you'd be met by this massive barking, and you could see Solomon behind the garden gate that went into the back garden. But if you actually went into the back garden, maybe to have a drink or something like that, and Solomon was roaming round, he was lovely. Now, I have always loved dogs. Andy, on the other hand, has always hated them and been scared of them. And the lady who owned Solomon said to us, he is friendly, just don't try to run away from him. So there was a day when we were in the back garden with the family, and Andy said he needed to go to the toilet. So he started walking, and Solomon clocked him and started trotting over towards him. And we're all shouting out, "Don't run, Andy!" But instead of turning round and walking towards Solomon and wrapping his arms around his neck and giving him a hug, Andy started to run. And that was the sign for Solomon to start barking his head off and running up right behind Andy. And by the time Andy had reached the door, Solomon had been trying to get his trousers off. Now that is a lesson in the fear of God. The lady who owned the Mill House and owned Solomon was Moses. Our family were the Israelites. And Moses was telling us, don't be afraid of getting close, but keep the fear of the dog in the front of your mind in case you try to run away. Don't be afraid of getting close, but keep the fear of God in the front of your mind unless you start to drift into sin. So, let me find my place. In other words, God is a joy to be close to. But if you treat sin lightly and carelessly, he is to be feared. So if you're trying to run away from God because you're afraid of him, it may be that you're not as fearful of him as you need to be. Trying to run away from him like that is about as senseless as a 7-year-old trying to outpace a narky Dalmatian. If you really fear him and value your own life, stop running. turn round, hug him round the neck, and hang on for dear life, and he will lick your face. Jesus has done everything that we need to find safety. Jesus is our refuge. He faced the storm of God's wrath for us in my place. It is Jesus who gives us the right to become children of God. Run to him. So fearing God comes with amazing blessing. Just listen to the psalm, Psalm 25. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Psalm 31, how abundant are the good things you've stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. Fearing God and taking refuge in him run side by side. A woman who fears the Lord will wait for the Lord. She'll hope in the Lord. She'll stay close to the heart of God and trust in his promises. The idea of running away into sin will be too frightening, and the benefits of staying close to his heart too beautiful to let go of. So secondly, why should we praise such a woman? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's our second question. Why is this praise so important? And I just want to bring out three reasons why this praise is important. First, it feels good. Second, it honors God. And third, it strengthens her walk with God. So first, it feels good. David says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's got to mean delight yourself in everything that delights the Lord. And so logically, delight yourself in a woman who fears the Lord. God loves and applauds her. Love and applaud her as well. And what is that kind of praise? C.S. Lewis wrote a little book called Reflections on the Psalms. And he points out that praise isn't just the expression of joy. Praise completes the joy. A joy isn't fully enjoyed until it bursts out in an expression of praise. So you're watching a sunset over West Kirby, or you're listening to the liquid song of a blackbird, and it fills your heart the most when you burst out, oh, wow, that is just so beautiful. I'm expressing how full my heart feels. My praise completes that experience. And praising a woman who fears the Lord feels good. I'm watching her taking her walk with the Lord seriously, and I want to celebrate that. I want to express the joy that a woman like that brings. Do we do that? For the women in our life who are learning to trust and fear the Lord, are we watching that holy, God-centered fear growing and bless them with our praise? Let's get hooked on praise. I'm not talking about empty flattery here. It's about seeing God at work in our sisters and telling them. It feels good. Second, to praise a God-fearing woman is to honor God. It doesn't just feel good, it honors God. Now, we don't need to think here that if we're praising a woman, we're giving to her what actually belongs to God. Yes, there is a sense in which all praise should be God-centered. But since God has made the world, since God is at work in you and in me, it's possible to praise him indirectly by praising something that he's made or praising something that exalts him. So, for example, if somebody said to you, oh, you know what, your kids are a credit to you, you feel blessed and honored, don't you? You're being praised indirectly by them being praised. So when we praise a woman who fears the Lord, we're also praising God. He is already applauding her. And we're just joining in the applause. She is his workmanship. Third, to praise a God-fearing woman is to strengthen her. We praise a woman who fears the Lord to strengthen her walk with God. Just go back to Solomon the Dalmatian for a second. Suppose that when the dog started to bark at Andy, he stopped, he turned round, he walked towards Solomon, gave him some love, and then walked slowly on towards the house. And we'd be calling out, nice one, Andy, that's exactly right. Keep doing that, that's brilliant. Now, what would that likely do for Andy? What it would do would be to strengthen him to carry on doing it right and not to run away again. And it's the same for us who fear God and hope in him. There's always temptations every day to run away from the fear of God, temptations to fear money problems more than we fear God, temptations to fear the people around us more than we fear God, temptations to run to things that we think will make us feel good more than we fear God. We get tempted again and again to let go of our awesome Father, and all the time, we need one another to strengthen our walk with God. I need to hear you say, you need to hear me say, well done, that is so cool. I love the way that you love and you fear the Lord. Here's why. Now, husbands and children, a word specially for us. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Few have a Christian mum. Suppose tomorrow you knew she wouldn't be here anymore. Tell her today. Tell her that her walk with God is an inspiration to you. Tell her that she's taught you what loving and fearing God looks like. Strengthen her walk with God today. Her children rise up, I guess, in the morning and call her blessed. Tell her. What about husbands? If I lost Paula this week, I'd hate to think that the last thing I would be left with was, why did I get upset with her over such stupid little things? Why did I make an issue of such non-essentials? Why did I let criticism and nitpicking dry up my expressions of gratitude and of praise? Husbands, strengthen her walk with God today. Tell her, phone her, text her. Tell her today, I love how you love and you fear the Lord, and here's why. So finally, what does a woman who fears the Lord look like? And that's what this acrostic of verses 10 to 31 gives us. There are 22. I'm only going to look at four. Four things the writer has chosen to celebrate. What I want to celebrate about Paula. First of all, a woman who fears the Lord isn't anxious about the future. Look at verse 25. If you have your Bible open, I love this line. We should be celebrating every woman who is learning this. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Satan dangles the threat of tomorrow's troubles in her face. And she looks up at Jesus, the immeasurably powerful God of the universe, holding her hand, and she laughs at Satan's stupidity. Her fear of the Lord makes her fearless of the future. It doesn't make her naive. She knows that fearing God doesn't mean to say that she abdicates her common sense. She applies herself to daily living. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. In the middle of winter, she knows that God's wisdom says that we do more than just pray that our feet don't freeze. Clothes need to be made. Clothes need to be bought. When a woman fears the Lord, she won't be anxious about tomorrow. She'll do what God has appointed for her to do and trust him in everything. Her God is bigger than any anxiety. Second, the woman who fears the Lord has practical wisdom. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What a beautiful phrase. The writer of Proverbs has already made it absolutely crystal. In chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So it is no surprise that the woman who fears the Lord opens her mouth with wisdom. And the wisest people that I know are the people who love and fear the Lord deeply and have quietened their souls like a child in their father's strong arms. But the people who are most anxious, most tense, and fretful about tomorrow, full of complaints, they're not the people that I search out when I'm in need of counsel. Third, a woman who fears the Lord won't live for herself alone, but for others, and particularly her husband if she's married. Verses 11 and 12, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She gives him financial support. She gives him practical support. But perhaps more important than those is that she gives him moral and spiritual support. Verse 23 seems to be a little bit out of place in this song of praise to women. It says her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. How's that a word of praise to the woman who fears the Lord? Well, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 gives us an answer. A good wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is the rottenness of his bones. A wife who fears the Lord increases the reputation of her husband in the best ways. In more than 23 years of marriage, Paula has my absolute trust as a representative of all that we stand for. There's no place that I could be where I wouldn't want her by my side. She is a crown for my head. She's a signet ring on my hand. And I know, because she has showed me time and time again, that she is for me 100%. Because a woman like Paula is learning, like we all are, to fear the Lord. And I pray every husband will know that kind of support. Finally, one last mark of the woman who fears the Lord, whether she's married or not, is she lives for the good of the needy. Verse 20, She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. God has saved her. He's made her secure. And now her hands show her heart. This woman in Proverbs 31 is esteemed. She's well-to-do, but that makes absolutely no difference. She rolls up her sleeves and seeks out the lost and the hurting and the poor. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What have we learned? She keeps before her eyes the fear of running away from God into sin. So she stays close to God. Her arms are around his neck. She's kissed by her father. He confides in her. She should be praised by all of us because that'll fill our lives with more joy. It'll honor the Lord and it'll strengthen her walk with them. And she can be recognized because she's confident in God's strong arms and not anxious about the future. She speaks wisdom, she speaks grace, she brings her husband honor by her support, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's just pray a moment. Father, this is not just a challenge, but an ambition. And I pray by your Spirit that you will apply this teaching into everyone's heart. All of us have got a part to play. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless this church with women who fear the Lord. Thank you. Amen.